All right, back at it now. Here in the No Panic Zone, it's good to have you here. The next guest on the program here, Administrator Seema Verma, the head of Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and a member of the President's Coronavirus Task Force. Is she here, Alex? Okay. Didn't see it come through. Seema, welcome back to the program.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Steve.
Good to have you here. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on. Obviously, there's a lot of headlines again as the number of positive results in testing is coming back. And a lot of hysteria, but I want to look at the numbers because if I look at Florida's numbers, for example, I see that the number of people that are hospitalized is decreasing some. That's certainly true in Michigan. The death rate continues to come down. And really what we need to do is what we needed to do from the beginning, and that is defend the most vulnerable. In states like New York and New Jersey and Michigan ordered COVID-19 positive patients into nursing homes and long-term care facilities. I'm sorry, but that's just foolish. And they talk about science and so forth, but anybody with a lick of common sense would have known if you're sick, you don't go to the nursing home. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And, you know, from day one, the president's had his focus on seniors. We've been working round the clock to make sure that we can support nursing homes to keep their residents safe. And, you know, the reality is they are a vulnerable population, and they will continue to be. These are elderly individuals, a lot of times with underlying health conditions, and they're living in close quarters. And that's why at the beginning we said, let's not have visitors or people that don't need to be in the nursing home, because you can have asymptomatic spread, as you know. We've also put in, a whole system of tracking cases of coronavirus in the nursing home so that we can be on top of that, make sure that the nursing homes that are having issues with it or with coronavirus can get the support that they need.
Do you find it a bit offensive, as I do and I think as others do, when you hear people like Governor Cuomo of New York basically blame the staffing individuals, the people that are working at these places, for the spread of the virus? I mean, I find that galling, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, I'd say, you know, the people that are working in the nursing homes are really doing God's work. It's a calling. It's very, very difficult work, and this has been an extraordinarily tough time. And so I don't like anyone pointing fingers at the healthcare workers. I mean, they're heroes, just like, you know, the frontline workers in the emergency room. They're also doing very tough work. That being said, you know, one of the things that we've been concerned about on the federal level are policies that some states have, like New York, where they were requiring nursing homes, kind of forcing them to take individuals that were COVID positive into the nursing home. And our guidelines were very clear that if the nursing home wasn't prepared to keep that person isolated, to make sure that they were following the CDC recommendations, and they shouldn't take that patient, and it's okay for them to say, "Look, we're not taking a COVID positive patient."
Absolutely should not. I mean, let's be honest.
The governor probably wanted to get people out of the hospital, but you can't force a nursing home to take a patient if they're not prepared to take care of.
Correct. And the fact of the matter is, we set up these hospital ships, makeshift hospitals at different places, in places like New York, New Jersey, Michigan, all over the country. In fact, tens of millions of dollars spent on these emergency hospital facilities. Most of them never got used. And yet these patients were sent into nursing home environments, and we didn't use the facilities that were designed to take COVID-19 patients. It's baffling to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, New York really enjoyed the support. The president was very focused on making sure that New Yorkers got what they needed, and he did send the comfort up there. So they had the ship, and they had the Javits Center, which was a makeshift hospital. So they had a lot of resources. Other states, you know, set up COVID-positive facilities for their nursing home residents. So there was a lot of things that could be done. I think the other concerning part is that state officials were then pointing back to the federal guidelines, saying, "Oh, we were following the federal guidelines." And I want to be very clear that those are not the federal guidelines. And I think that's important for people to know. I want all nursing homes, especially those in Michigan and for hospitals, you know, don't just discharge a patient unless you know that they can be properly cared for.
Right. And you put out those guidelines, if I'm not mistaken here. Seema Verma here is the head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and a member of the President's Coronavirus Task Force. March 4th, Seema, it says that you issued the guidance related to screening of entrants into nursing homes. March 4th. And yet it wasn't until almost the middle of April when Governor Whitmer in Michigan, where I am, issued the directive sending COVID-19 positive patients. Around that same time, Governor Cuomo, Governor Murphy, five states in all, I believe, did something similar. I'm sorry, but it's inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why the president wanted me to come and talk to the nursing homes in Michigan. We met with some folks who were in Detroit yesterday, and that's why we're doing that. We want to make sure that people clearly understand that this is not the appropriate thing to do. And honestly, it puts people's lives at stake.
Yeah, it cost a lot of people their lives. And I think in Michigan, we're going to find out, sadly, it was much worse. Right now, nursing home deaths account for about 35% of the deaths that have been recorded here. But our numbers don't include long-term care facilities, assisted living facilities, veterans places, and homes for the aged. It only includes nursing homes. I think we're going to find the number is a lot more devastating when we get to the bottom of it. I want to ask you one more thing. We've got a couple of minutes here, if you don't mind. I want to shift gears to one other thing here, and that is the reopening of schools, because the president is pushing hard for that. I agree with his position, having read reams of paper and studies and so forth from Europe and Australia and Israel and around the world. It seems that school children are at the least amount of risk, and they don't have the propensity to spread it very often to adults. In fact, almost never, because they have such a low viral load, if they have it at all. Is there any reason now we shouldn't be opening schools? The CDC did put out guidelines, said they're not going to rewrite them. The president thinks that they're a little tough, but the fact of the matter is school kids need to be in school. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely. And I can tell you, as a mother of two kids, I've got one in high school and one in college, and an online experience just doesn't cut it. You know, I want my kids to be well-educated, and I think they need to be in school, physically present, in order to achieve that. The other thing I think we have to understand is that there's a lot that goes on in schools as well. You know, as head of the Medicaid program, we also provide healthcare services in schools. And a lot of kids, get mental health services. There's also, they're getting school lunch, and we also use schools to help identify when kids are being abused or neglected.
Right.
And so, all of that is starting to fall apart. And, I think we have to understand from a broad standpoint that this virus is here. It's not going anywhere in the near future. We're hopeful that we're going to have a vaccine. But in the meantime, we have to live our lives, and we have to figure out, how do we live with this virus and do that in a safe way? So opening our schools, opening our economy, those things are all important. And I think what the CDC guidelines do is provide some recommendations, some parameters. And I think Dr. Redfield from the CDC was very clear that he doesn't want these guidelines to be a reason not for schools to open. We need to figure out how to do this in a safe way that keeps our students safe, that keeps the teachers safe, and the community. You know, I get it. Agreed. My husband's a very high-risk person. That being said, I think we can figure out a way for my son to go to school and my husband to be safe.
I agree with you on all levels, and I have two kids in school, one in elementary and one in high school, and I could not agree with you more. Really appreciate you taking the time. Administrator Seema Verma, head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and a member of the President's Coronavirus Task Force. Thank you for taking the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Steve.
There you have it. Back after this.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important. So is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. Enbridge is committed to building this underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5 deep under the Straits of Mackinac. This means multiple layers of protection, virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes, no possibility of an anchor strike, and no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at enbridge.com/Line 5 Tunnel.
Helping those who need it most while building a better future. That's what Michiganders do. And it's what DTE is doing today. Giving 2 million masks to frontline workers and 600,000 to small businesses. Providing tablets and internet access so 51,000 school children can learn at home. And helping over 500,000 families across the state with food and shelter. Because for Michigan, we're always all in. DTE. DTE is taking big steps today that will power Michigan's economy for years to come. As one of the largest investors in the state, we'll spend $2 billion with Michigan companies this year alone, building critical infrastructure to provide cleaner, safer, and more reliable energy while creating thousands of new jobs across the state, improving the lives of Michiganders today while continuing to build a stronger tomorrow. DTE.
There are kids at some of the schools in our Greater Lansing community who are struggling with basics like food, clothing, a safe place to live. When you're worried about the basics, it's harder to learn. If you can read and write, you can help these kids, which is a tremendous investment in our community. If you've got some time and want to be a part of the solution, the Capital Area Literacy Coalition could use your help. Visit thereadingpeople.org for details. That's thereadingpeople.org for details.